Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get hype.
Come on.
About the hobby we are all a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
What is going down, everyone? We were going to do episode 123. We figured the time is right to just go right to 124 because there could only be one number 24. And, you know, rest in peace to the great Kobe Bryant that transcended our hobby. So we're going to talk about Kobe. We're going to talk about, you know, his card values and stuff that's happening in this hobby. And what are the right answers? What are the wrong answers with selling and buying Kobe stuff? As well as remembering some of his iconic cards over the years that have came out in our hobby. So we're going to talk about that. And we're also got some other topics. We're going to talk about Transcendent Hall of Fame baseball, which just got kind of brought up. And also, somebody traded a Tom Brady for a video game, a Tom Brady Contenders rookie for a video game. So some pretty exciting stuff. Glad to be here, guys. Check it out, mojobreak.com for your breaks. Follow us at mojobreak_com on Twitter and Instagram as well. We're going to be part of the Million Card Rip Party next week. So tune in on Tuesday starting at 3 Pacific time. We're going to be live in Dallas at Jerry's World, part of 2020 Top Series 1. We're going to be ripping, being part of the Million Card Rip Party. We're going to be doing giveaways, so check that out on Instagram. There's a way to win cards on Instagram as well as on Facebook. Dan, what's going down?
Chilling, man. Tough week.
It is.
Tough way to start the week on Sunday. And, you know, come in Monday, and it's kind of the main topic, and it's a lot of stuff in this hobby that, I mean, I get it. It's people's inventory. They can kind of choose what they want to do with it, but it's tough, and we've talked about it a lot. We're probably going to talk about it for the next 45 minutes to an hour, and, it's just a shame. Gone too soon for sure.
C-Rad, what's going down?
Work breaking was tough on Sunday. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Rest in peace to the legend, man. Crazy. It's crazy how much, you know, we talked about in a show, and shout out to Kelp for bringing up the whole David Stern thing on how, you know, David Stern was part of the reason why the international market exploded for our hobby, right? And, you know, we probably wouldn't see these logo man sales or the collectability of these cards, especially in the basketball hobby, and it's which has moved over to the baseball hobby. But if David Stern did not have Kobe Bryant, it wouldn't happen either. If he didn't have anybody that talented, that sellable, that likable, it wouldn't have happened. So, I mean, your Zion, your Luka prices, all that stuff in this hobby directly go back to Mr. Kobe Bryant, because he kind of started it off. Unfortunately, there wasn't like exquisite or any patch autos as much back then, but we had Topps Chrome, we had other stuff that was going on, and if it wasn't for him and his values, and then, you know, LeBron James 5-6 years later, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at. So rest in peace to the legend. Obviously died way too soon, it's just amazing that, you know, anybody that didn't follow sports, you know, I was using James Gandolfini for an example. Like, if you said, hey, you know, and rest in peace to him as well, but if you said, hey, to somebody, hey, James Gandolfini died, people would be like, well, who? The guy from Sopranos, right? Kobe was that type of person that you just say, Kobe dies. People know, you know, people knew who he was. You know, you didn't have to explain. And that just goes to show how big this man was, you know, and like Kimmel said, you know, he's not out there saving lives and stuff like that. But what he did, you know, gave a lot of people hope and brought other countries into basketball, which is crazy, you know. So, it's definitely hard to talk about. And wanted to move on to talk about, you know, some of his cards and what the market's been doing, because it's just crazy. And there's two sides to the story, right? There's two opinions. And I want to digest both of those sides. You guys can contribute in the chat and stuff like that of what's happening with his market, you know, the market immediately after his passing, which I don't think we'll ever witness in the history of our life of collecting. There won't probably ever be a moment where somebody of that collectible impact passes away and just changes the market. I mean, it was almost like the market jumped for like 50 years, like if Kobe was 90. That's the effect that it had. You know what I mean? Like if his prices went from him being a 40-year-old, you know, guy to
but now it's
50 years later. It jumped 50 years in a day.
I actually have to disagree with that, because I know what you're saying. I know the analogy, but if he was around for another 50 years, how many more autos would be in the marketplace?
Right.
The one thing about Kobe is that he definitely worked with Panini and he was pretty much in every product. Obviously, when he retired, it seemed like he was a little bit more short printed than he was when he was playing.
Mm-hmm.
But can you recall a Panini release that did not have Kobe Bryant in it?
Right.
And it's crazy. And you would think, like, well, there's a lot of autos. Why is the demand so high after this tragedy? And it's because he's that influential. He's
right.
That much of a great of the game, but internationally, probably one of the most recognizable athletes in the world.
Yeah.
Ever.
Anybody.
Ever. Yeah. And I sat there and had a discussion. I'm like, maybe the most influential person to ever pass in my lifetime. I had
early, right?
Early. But I had
tragically,
before their time. And, you know, I brought it up and a couple of people were like, well, what about Michael Jackson? What he did for music? Maybe.
It felt the same.
Maybe.
It felt the same.
Princess Di. We were like freshmen in high school when that happened. I don't know if we can truly wrap our head around how big that was.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when it happened, but I didn't know what she did. She did a lot of good things, and she was a huge personality as well.
Right.
But this has to go up there with that, right? It has to be in that realm.
Yeah, totally. It's on the same level. Absolutely. So I wanted to point out to this, and you know, Group Break Checklist is obviously a great site to follow as far as if you're finding out teams and trying to find out teams and breaks. So he actually put a post out on Twitter recently. I don't think it was on Sunday, but I think it was recently. It says, if people want products with Kobe cards, please provide that service. Do not listen to those that are saying you should not offer those breaks. That is ludicrous. People can choose to spend their money however they want. If the price is too high, they will not buy. Now, obviously, he's talking about breaks. I wanted to talk about it, like, in terms of the market. You know, in terms of, is it right to sell Kobe for a higher price? Is it right to buy Kobe right after he died? So, what's right? I mean, you almost have to take a step back. And my opinion on it is you have to take a step back and say, you got to take the human element out of it. You have to look at it as these items are assets and they're, you know, they're not, it's not a living piece of Kobe. It's not, you know, it is a collectible. So you have to take the humanization out of it, because everybody has a different opinion. I still stand on what I said about putting Rip in the title. I am not ever going to change that point of view. I don't think that is in good taste. You don't need to put Rip in the title if you're selling your cards. But there was a slew of things that happened. There was a slew of things that happened on eBay where people were buying cards right away, and there was 70 to 80% of those got canceled because the seller was like, this card is now worth five times the amount that somebody sold it, that somebody bought it from me for. I'm going to cancel it and relist it for more money. So those people immediately were getting the reaction of, those people are heartless. They shouldn't try to capitalize off somebody's death. But then the other point of view is like, well, the buyer who's watching their eBay account on a Sunday afternoon to be able to pull these things down with the new information they had. So it's two different sides to the story. And I'll start with Dan, and we'll go to C-Rod afterwards. What is your opinion on both sides of it, buying and selling?
Okay. With the selling and you can play devil's advocate and convince yourself either way. But with the selling aspect of it, people were canceling it because they're like, well, I'm going to throw figures out there. Let's just say there was a buy it now for $200 on Saturday. Well, if somebody would have came in and bought that card on Saturday, you would have had no issue with it because that was what perceived value is.
Right.
Knowing that it gone up to $2,000 because he tragically passed away, and in canceling that and being like, I need to benefit from this. I'm not going to sell it to somebody, because you can't just assume the person who bought it from you is going to try to resell it.
Right.
But I think everybody who undersold their Kobe cards is assuming that somebody bought that just so they can make a buck, and nobody wants to have them make a buck on their behalf.
Well, what would you think if somebody clicked your buy now on your Kobe card?
You know what? If my cards were up there and they were up there before it happened, and somebody went in there and bought it, and I either didn't pull it down or didn't care because I would have been happy with getting whatever I wanted for on Saturday, I would have left it up. I personally would have left everything up and been like, you know what? And I don't know if somebody who's going to buy it is going to resell it. That's not something that I'll ever know unless I could actually find the exact card that I sold and it's up on eBay for 10 times the price. But that's not... I can't do anything about that. It's not my problem. Granted, yeah, maybe I did lose some money, but you know, I was happy on Saturday selling that card for that amount of money.
And that's
so now that there's more money to be made, I should not be okay with that.
That's the point of view that people are making. You were obviously okay with it before the event.
That's what I'm saying. So you're gonna have to live with it. Sell the card, send it to the person, and then go on living your life and don't worry about it.
All right, and before I get to C-Rad on this situation, let's just, like, compare this to an event where, say, let's use, like, archive signatures, for example. Nobody's opened it up, and every year it retails at $45. Let's just say Topps does something crazy unannounced, right? We say we sell 20 boxes, and we're like, why are we selling 20 boxes at $45? And then Topps comes out and says, there's a one-on-one Trout in every box. We did something wacky this year. Is that... And then now the boxes are selling at $250,
yeah,
$300.
Right. And then you could actually equate this to exactly what you do on a day-to-day basis. When you put say Bowman on pre-sale, and let's say you're doing it early and you did it before.
Which I do.
And let's say you didn't know that Jason Dominguez was going to be in there. Let's say the tweet didn't come out yet. And you still don't know.
It could be Bowman.
It could be Bowman Chrome. It could be an insert auto. We don't even know what it's in.
Mm-hmm.
So say you put the Yankees at $100 in the first five cases, and they all sell right away. And then we find out a week before release that Jason Dominguez is going to be in there. That $100 spot now is a $1,000 spot. And are we going to go to our customers and be like, hey, I'm just going to go ahead and cancel this $100 pre-order because I didn't know Jason Dominguez was in there. We literally, on our first PYTs, every time we put him up there, especially during baseball season, because you really don't know, we lose hundreds of dollars.
Right. It's a good point, because we don't know the checklist, and that's why it pays to buy in early.
Yeah. So we have never in 10 years gone to a customer and said, hey, you know, we undersold this. We're going to go ahead and either give you your money back, or if you want to shoot us the difference, that's how we're going to do this. We would never do it, and we never have done it. And that's the closest thing I could actually compare.
Because there, obviously, we're a company, so we would get blasted as a company. I think these people that are doing it are all individual people, so they're not. There's no face. There's no name of John Collector 5 on eBay to relate it to. Right? There was a big retailer that pulled a bunch of listings on Kobe Eminence cards and put them back up at a higher price, and they got blasted. So there was a face. There was a name to put there. There was a place to review them. C-Rad, what's your thought on the whole buying and selling of the cards right immediately after his death?
For me, I guess I feel kind of I feel kind of indifferent. Like, I'm kind of with Dan a little bit. Like, if I had a card up and for a price that I was happy with on Saturday, and it's sold, me personally, I would honor that sale, and I would still send it to the person. Now, you know, me as a seller as well, you know, Sunday when the news happens, when, you know, the news comes out that Kobe passed, I also have the, I feel like I also would have the right to, you know, take whatever hasn't sold down yet and then just decide what to do with it after that. But I, if something's sold already.
Well, that's the thing. This happened so fast that any of these people, any of these people that knew about it and they were trying to pull them down, they were already sold.
I know. Right. So, I wish there was a stipulation on eBay that if something like this is to happen, there is a, like, a holding period. Like, say there's a 15 to 20 minute holding period to where you can accept or decline the purchase, and it gives you an opportunity to pull everything
down.
True. Yeah. Because everybody was, I mean, not everybody.
But not everything sold, though.
Well, dude.
Anything under 1,000 was
anything,
gone.
It was gone. I mean, it was everything was gone. Everything was gone based on what the perceived value was on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, it was all gone.
Okay. If you want to fast forward to slide 10, so this is, I bought one. This is a card I always wanted. And honestly, I was not going to flip it. You guys know me. Me and Dan have some big cards that we bought over the years that they just sit here. Not saying I wouldn't sell it maybe 10, 15 years from now. I don't know where I'm going to be in 10, 15 years from now. But as of right now, I don't need to sell a card. So I went on there to basically buy some nice ones, knowing that there's not going to be any more coming out, right? So, and I've always liked the Upper Deck Chronology one. So I saw it, I clicked it, I bought it. Within 30 minutes, I was refunded right away. So, and this is a big seller. It's buy nice cards. So, and it was best offer. It was 3,000 or best offer. I clicked buy it now, $3,000. I was refunded. I was told that the seller has multiple avenues of where he sells his items, and that he basically refunded everybody, and he's going to wait and see what he does with Kobe cards. So I asked him, are you going to put it up at a higher price? And he wouldn't answer that. So obviously, I think people are so jaded. And you know what? 90% of the people out there might be trying to come up and flip it. We know what happens with the bots on First Offline. We know how this hobby is. Unfortunately, I don't want to call it a selfish hobby, but it is, in a sense, it's a hobby that you can do by yourself, yeah. Right? So you're doing everything by yourself. You're buying into breaks by yourself. You're buying boxes. You want the auto out of the case, not the guy that comes in the store the next day because of the values that things are.
You also look at like Nike pulling down all the Kobe stuff. They pulled it down, and it's an easy PR marketing campaign to say we're doing it out of respect for the family, right?
There's actually a conflicting report because, like, Nike says there's a report that Nike says they pulled it because they don't want people to flip the stuff.
Then
there's also the report that they actually just sold out of everything.
They don't want people to flip it because they don't want people to make extra money on them.
Yeah, but you don't know which report is real.
Yeah,
right now.
But maybe a little bit of both. Yeah. Kobe's a pretty big brand for Nike. I don't think they sold out of everything. I think that they saw a huge influx and they were like, let's pull everything down. Let's pull everything down and then we're going to figure out what we do. But we don't want to be a money pipeline for all these flippers.
See, I don't think David says in chat Nike did not pull it. I don't think they pulled. I think there was, like, C-Rad and me were talking about the stock X with shoes. Every Kobe was like 10 grand.
Every market, not just our hobby, every market where people, you know, saw the opportunity, whether it be shoes, clothing, memorabilia, our hobby, which is sports cards, everybody is buying to resell. Not everybody, but a lot of people are buying to resell.
I saw a report on, it was either Twitter or Facebook today, where a guy made $1,000 on Kobe shoes in a span of like 30 minutes.
Yeah. But just buying probably buying the retail shoes at a shoe store.
And just flipping them. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting conversation to have. And we'll never have a moment of this magnitude that we can talk about it. Never. You know what I mean? There'll never be something like this. And
this is not supposed to happen.
So, and Jason in the chat said, if I was a seller, I would take it down so I could just keep it. And that's fair. I get that. But a lot of the big retailer we mentioned earlier took it down and put it up at a higher price. And there's several instances of people doing that. So because we're known as such a flipping industry and we're all, you know, money based in this industry and everybody's trying to make money off their cards, that the people selling the cards don't want to give any of their money to somebody else. And that's what it was viewed as. So like I said, even if the person was legitimately buying it to keep it and remember Kobe and just make sure they get a Kobe auto before it's too late, that person was automatically viewed as a flipper. And like I was viewed as a flipper. So that's what was going down, is that nobody wanted to let another person make more money than they could possibly make. Now, is that right? Is that wrong? I don't know. People have kids to, you know, feed. You know, they look at that extra $1,000 and maybe that changes their whole outcome. I don't know. So I don't know what answer's right. Am I wrong for trying to buy really quick because I didn't give somebody a chance to get the price current to the market?
But I actually think, I mean, you did it based on the fact you know the market. You actually kind of could foreshadow what was going to happen. So it was either buy then without the intention of flipping or it getting priced out.
Yes.
So, I mean, unfortunately with something like this, you have to, if you want something, you're going to have to work and buy it quick and not even think about it if you want it in your collection, because it was going to be, everybody's going to be priced out. I mean, look at that. That is
a sought after card, though.
But that's $11,000. That is what, maybe a $4,000 or $5,000 card.
Yeah. So I wanted to highlight some of his most popular cards. And for you guys listening to it on the podcast, you know, you're gonna have to look these up or watch our video. So once again, listen to this on podcast. We're doing a video version of the show too. So I think the first card I had was the very first jersey card ever made. They had a Jordan version. I actually almost want to buy this at that price because it's such a cool looking card. It's the 1998 Kobe Bryant game used jersey patch card. So it's literally the first patch cards were produced in that set, and the Michael Jordan is out of this world as far as the price.
Dope. That's actually pretty dope.
It's just the way they designed the card is very cool. So that to me, as far as opinion wise, is an iconic card. Now the one we just showed that went for $11,000 was the first time playoff or Panini, I believe it was Panini at that point, did the nicknames. So your notable nicknames got started right here in 910. So 910 National Treasures, notable nicknames, and he wrote Black Mamba on it. And
it's graded, gotta be rare, man.
Graded 9, and it went for $11,000, which is insane. But it's an absolutely monumental card. So that was, and it's really cool looking for an older Panini design. Older, I mean, 10 years ago, obviously, but, you know, older Panini design. And then I think I had a few more up here. Obviously, the Topps Chrome is very iconic. 1996 Topps Chrome Rookie. They only had refractors and base. That's all they made. They didn't make any colors back then. So you can see the base, a recent base sale for Gem 10 at $7,000. 2 days before, it was at $23,000. So that just shows you right there in comparison how big the market jumped. So you have a $3,000 swing on a Kobe Bryant rookie after the news. And this isn't even autoed. So these aren't, you know, this isn't an auto that he can't, you know, these are still in existence. They were always going to be in existence, and they really aren't affected by his passing other than the fact that, you know, he's passed now. So people are remembering him. That is an absolute phenomenal jump. Do you guys think that this price on this Kobe Chrome stays the same or it goes down, or what do we think over time? So there's 800 Gem 10s graded. There's 800 of them.
I personally, with, you know, Kobe passing, I personally think that, especially this kind of stuff, like his rookies, I think it's going to be like Jordan where they're going to go up every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in a couple months, I think that they might go down a little bit here. Maybe. There's, like you said, there's only 800 of them that are PSA 10. So, but year to year, these things are going to keep going up. So.
I agree with Max in the chat that Kobe, and again, it's because Kobe's been in every product. He was, I think, viewed as an undervalued player.
Yep.
At least in the hobby. I also think that specific card is going to go down. There is 800 of them that are gem mint, and just through PSA.
There's probably more Fleer Jordans though out there.
I'm gonna say it's gonna go down. It's never gonna be $2,300 again. But I could see in about 3 to 4 years it going back down to $5,000, and then slowly making a little creep up every year. But I think right now it's fresh in everybody's mind. there's probably more people who are not even necessarily in the hobby or card collectors that are searching for this card right now just to have it in their collection. So there's just more eyeballs on it. Mm-hmm. But I think it does. I think it goes back down to, I think it goes to around $4,000, and then every year it creeps up just a little bit more.
Well, here's some data for you. So there is 17,000 Michael Jordan cards graded, 86. There is only 311 Gem 10s, but obviously a lot different year. Mm-hmm. So let's keep that number in mind. 17,000 graded Jordan cards.
Are we comparing this card to the 86-87 player?
Yep, we absolutely are.
We're not comparing it to the 86-87 Topps Chrome Basketball?
86-87, yeah, right, exactly.
We're not going to compare it to
the non-existent Topps Chrome Basketball?
It's their best rookie card, though, right?
Yeah, it's literally, yeah. I mean, there's really no comparison.
I got cases and cases of 86-87 Topps Chrome.
So I just want to see the actual graded amount of the chromes. Now, they did have chrome refractors, which changes the game up a little bit because there's only one type of Jordan, right? Because there wasn't multiple Jordans. So
wait, there wasn't Jordan refractors?
No Jordan refractors. So,
well, in my 86-87, there is.
So 5,257 PSA 10 graded. Now, there might be more BGS, you know. So you're talking about a third of the cards compared to, obviously, you know, MJ. 396 refractors graded. So 814 tens. So there's more tens for the Kobe. That's probably because the technology was much better than 86. So there's more tens than there is Jordans. But overall, there's only a third made. So there was 3,854 PSA 9s. So that's astounding. There's actually two ones. I'd like to see what those cards look like.
Oh, God.
There's 1-3, 1-4, 2-5s, 6-12s, 32-7s, 539-8s, 3,854 9s, and 814 PSA 10s.
Wow.
So, yeah, a lot less cards made, but more PSA 10s graded. So, interesting.
But we're assuming there was more 86-87 Fleer than there was 96-97 Chrome.
Well, the thing about it was with Chrome was kind of a specialty, right? It always has.
Yeah,
been.
I mean, I guess it definitely did. It cost more to make a Chrome card.
Well, they had the same, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, because I was a freshman, or maybe I was still in junior high in 96.
They had a flagship. Right.
Right. So they had the same photo and flagship. Yeah. So the flagship would be like the Fleer, and then Fleer never made a Fleer Chrome. So I don't think they make as much Chrome as they do flagship.
What was the first year of Chrome?
I don't know.
Wasn't it the Kobe year?
Or was it I think for basketball. It might have been the first. It might have been AI. Let's see. First year Chrome basketball. Let's see if I come up with a report here. It says 97-98. No, that can't be right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't
anybody
know
in the chat, any historians?
I don't know if the Hall of Fame induction is going to affect the card value. It was always going to be – Kobe was always going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, but anybody getting in the Hall of Fame, it just that moment bumps up their cards. It doesn't matter. I mean, we all know it's going to happen, but look what happened to Jeter. Jeter's cards went up a little bit right after he got in the Hall of Fame.
It would have received –
I don't think we're going to look at it and go, the $7,000 Kobe Bryant rookie went up to $10,000 because he got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, here's the thing that happens. There's obviously probably no chrome left box wise, maybe 1%, right? Topps Chrome, maybe, if we're lucky. And those boxes are insanely priced. So these cards, especially the amount of cards that sold on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, that went into people's collections. So that's what's going to drive this up, is that the people that are going to keep these cards are never going to surface. So let's just say 500 of these cards go into a collection, the person's not selling it, they're keeping it, and that's what's going to drive up the price, is there may only be two or three on eBay. And the guy's
And I think that's what we have with the LeBron.
That's what keeps the price.
The LeBron rookie chrome.
Yes.
That's why you don't see them really surface on eBay as much, because the people who have them now, they have no intention of selling them.
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean, once he retires, we may see those pop back out, right? So, we're talking, if you just joined the feed, we're just talking a little Kobe today, you know, remembering Kobe, his greatness, and just talking about it in terms of our industry, which is collectibles. So just keeping you guys, you know, kind of in tune with what we saw. I thought this was funny. I mean, the whole situation is obviously not funny, but this came through my email. It was an Eminence, and it says, you could save $10,000. So I was like, you know, eBay probably sends these with shoes, and it makes sense. You know, oh, $5 off, a pair of shoes. But this was like, I viewed it, and it was 17 Kobe Eminence cards for $69,000. So I looked at it on Sunday, and they sent me an email. Say, hey, you still interested? It's $10,000 off. So $59,000, you know, which was kind of a crazy email to get through my email thing. How did it know I was looking at Kobe cards, by the way? But this was somebody's post on a sports card scammer because everybody was complaining about Kobe cancellation. So this person was like, how many more of these Kobe sale cancellations do we have to look at? Get over it, my God, bunch of whiny babies. It's a hard, like I said, I don't think anybody's right or wrong.
I don't think any side's right.
You know, somebody could be viewed as trying to come up. The other person could be trying to be viewed as being immoral. I don't know what the right answer is. And like I said, I think we have to look at this whole situation as it's an asset. It's not the person. It's an asset. It's like we don't honor the president on the dollar bills or the $50 bill. We don't like look at it in terms of that guy. He passed away, so it should be worth. It's currency. So that's what I try to tell myself when I see how people act and how people sell things. We have to look at these as currency. In a
Would
sense.
You rather have a stack of Franklins than have a stack of Washingtons?
Right. You know the answer to that one.
I don't know, man.
Depends on how big the stacks were.
No, I mean, well, maybe you're a big Washington fan.
Right. Maybe I have 1,000 Washingtons. I don't know. Right, exactly. So, and also, one of the other things I wanted to bring up, guys, is be very careful. So, with all of this, these sales coming all around on the cards,
scammers going to be out in full.
The scammers are out in full effect, guys. The forgeries of Kobe autos, the forgery of Kobe jerseys. You know, if you're buying an Upper Deck autograph card, or if you're buying a Panini autograph card, you know those you can kind of look at. But go back to that last one. So, the first, and once again, this is image based. So, this is a Kobe Bryant auto, and you can see the COA is from Big Apple Authentic. So
old Big Apple.
It's got a little seal on it. Must be legit. No, it's not.
Their logo is an apple, bro.
Yeah.
Their logo is an apple, bro.
It is. It's an apple. So one thing I would advise for anybody looking at memorabilia, make sure that it's got a COA from PSA DNA, James Spence, Panini, and maybe Beckett. Maybe Beckett. I would do those four things. If you can get PSA DNA first off, and I would absolutely check the certification number before you bought it as well. Yeah, make sure it's a clear, because people could fake the PSA stickers. You know what I'm saying? People are taking advantage of people these days.
These scammers could F off, dude.
Dude, that is the same template that you would see on like a student of the month.
Yeah,
certificate.
That's a template that's in everybody's computer right now.
Yeah, that's in it's like Word right there. Big Apple, Big Apple Authentic.
Big Apple Authentic.
I mean, there's a number on there. Maybe you can put that in Google
in the Big Apple's website.
Big Apple's website.
There's no thought put into their logo.
You put that into their website, and it says it's real. It just pops up. It's like it's real. Thanks. But and there's also one thing to consider too is that Kobe's had several different autos, right?
Yeah,
so you got to look at the autos. You got to see the time period of the auto, too. So that's what's confusing to collectors, too, is there's no set Kobe auto. There's Kobe auto now. There's Kobe auto when he's a rookie. And then there was a midway through Kobe auto. Mm-hmm. This next one I thought was absolutely hilarious. So it is a Giannis Antetokounmpo, which I totally butchered his name right there, 8x10, signed by Giannis in silver pen, which you can barely see. But then in black pen, supposedly, he saw it signed Farewell Mamba on it, right? So
this is trash.
You had a signing with Giannis, and you supposedly did he sign it with two hands? Did he use both arms? So he had one pen in one hand? Didn't happen. This guy had a Giannis auto. We don't even know if that's legit. And then he, after Kobe died, he noticed, oh, I got a Giannis auto with Kobe in there. I'm going to write Farewell Mamba in my own handwriting on that dang thing and try to get $200 extra, because I think those Giannis right now are pretty cheap, right? I mean, they were given, distributors
well,
were giving
okay,
them out.
Okay, well.
Yo, if you're doing this type
of
stuff,
I'm gonna play devil's
shit.
Advocate here. What if he works for the Bucks, and what if like he went up to Giannis and was like, "Hey, I have this photo that you signed. Is there any way that you can write on the bottom, Farewell Mamba?"
Okay, I agree with you by being devil's advocate, but that's pretty sleazy if you throw it up on eBay.
But I'm just saying like that could have happened. I don't think that's what happened. I think what you're saying is what happened. I think he wrote it and figured that he would get more money for it. Double, probably the amount.
Double.
But you don't know. You don't know. What if he works for the Bucks? What if he is friends with what if he's friends with Giannis? What if he's friends with Giannis's agent? What if he had a way to, you know?
Well, here's also the thing that I just thought of. So maybe he does have a legit COA on that, right? Well, if it's PSA DNA, they don't say that the inscriptions.
No.
You know what I mean? Nope. So how would you know that? I think where this guy is a scamming moron is the fact that he used a different pen on that. So how is that even believable? Unless what you said, well, he did. But then the listing is sponsored too. So he's really pushing it. So he's paying eBay.
There is no way that he was able to get that COA'd and signed after Kobe had passed away.
True. Yeah.
There's no way. That the farewell Mamba on the bottom was done at a different time. Probably not by Giannis. Probably by the dude who's selling it. And it doesn't say that the inscription is authenticated. It doesn't say that it's not him either.
Well, and the funny
it doesn't say anything.
The funny thing was, is I was searching Kobe Bryant and this came up. So that's another whole thing that he's getting in on, is the fact that he was selling Giannis autos. Why not say farewell Mamba? Now I can put Kobe in the listing, right? So it's yeah. So just be careful. That's the whole point of this, is that there's a lot of crap on eBay right now. A lot of people taking advantage of each other, as far as you know, stuff like that. So look at this one. So this one is already up to, I just got posted, $152. It's a Kobe and LeBron dual auto 8x10, and its certificate is from Southside Sports Memorabilia. So once again, if it's not PSA,
Southside. Southside.
In Old English writing. So once again, if it's not PSA DNA, the major ones, and it doesn't have a cert, it's easy for somebody to keep practicing, you know, Kobe autos, LeBron autos.
They have a pretty convincing couple of autos, fake autos there.
Yeah, the LeBron, I mean, this could be legit, and the guy just, you know, produced his own certificate. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he didn't have time to send it in a PSA to try to capitalize on the Kobe moment, right? So he just put it out there, said, hey, here's my COA. You know, I witnessed it, right? So, but yeah, so just watch out. Be careful. And I also wanted to talk about this, guys, because this is a hot topic as well. There's a lot of you guys that came in our chat, asked us about this situation. Kobe redemptions.
Yeah, this is going to be tough.
So this is a fast break auto, and people are bidding on it like crazy. It's $456 for a 1920 fast break prism Kobe Bryant auto redemption card. Kobe only was signing on card towards the end, so I don't know if they have many stickers of Kobe.
And he signs only once or twice a year.
They load up. They have him come down. Kobe was a man of, you know, a family man, so he would do things, you know, when he wanted to, and he would come down and do a day or two of signing, get it, knock it out. I don't think there's going to be any Kobe autos being fulfilled. So be aware, and don't blame Panini for this, obviously. I think people are going to be pissed. What is a suitable replacement for a Kobe auto?
I'm going to break it down right now. I'm going to break it down how this is going. Panini is paid an X amount of dollars for a Kobe auto. They probably have a contract with him, and they have a very specific amount.
Allegedly, right?
I'm pretty sure that they have a pretty specific amount that they have been paying him for a while, for X amount of autos in a year, stickers and on cards and whatnot, because they have a great relationship with him. He has been a partner with Panini for a decade. Now, Panini, these redemptions are probably not going to get filled unless they have a bulk of stickers that are left over and they're going to be able to replace them. They will do replacements. They're probably going to do replacements based on the perceived value of how much they were paying Kobe for his auto and what his autos were worth in a specific product before his death. They're not going to base it on the crazy amount that they're going for now.
Right.
So if you get a replacement, you're not going to get a $1,000 card.
Right.
You're probably going to get a $150 card or a $200 card at max.
But what player? It's not fair to give you a Zion, right?
You're gonna get a player. Kevin Durant, Allen Iverson.
They have Giannis autos.
I don't know if they would value it as high as a Giannis auto. I think it's gonna go on a scale of whatever player that they're paying around the same price point as Kobe is the player you're gonna get.
Kobe's got to be one of their more well-paid athletes, right? Or was one of their more
you would think,
but but based on the amount of autos that he signs or signed for them per auto, he actually may be cheaper than a lot of other players who actually don't sign as much.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like since he retired, like obviously you talked about it earlier, actually, Dan. Since he retired, you know, he is more SP than he was when he was active. And he is, granted, he is in every product. I agree to that, but he really doesn't pop up that much, even though he's in every product.
You know what I'm saying? It's hard to hit him.
So it's been very tough since he's retired. But before he was retired, yeah, it was like, ooh, it's Kobe, like Kobe Otto here, there, boom, boom, boom. But yeah, since he retired, it was like, it was very short printed, even though he was in every product.
Oh, it ended at, so Ryan, Ryan said the auction ended at 540. So. It's crazy. I definitely would not buy Kobe redemptions at this point, you know, because I don't know what they're going to do. And obviously, this is a 1920, so absolutely no chance that probably they're going to make
now,
this one.
Now we can do, since we're talking about redemptions, we can probably start talking about products that are coming out soon.
Yeah.
Now, I would say that Kobe's probably going to be in Crown Royale.
But he might be a redemption.
We don't know that. I mean, he's been live in a lot of contenders. Yeah. So, I don't know where the cutoff is. I mean, they have a lot of these athletes sign, you know, 6 to 8, maybe even his case, maybe 10 months in advance, because the one thing about Kobe is
that blockchain too,
is that Panini knows that every single product, Kobe's going to be a staple. He's going to be in it.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a subset that they're going to be able to put him in. So I think you may be able to – National Treasures may have Kobe in it.
Maybe.
And that's in March, I think. Is that in March? I don't know about anything after that. I would basically personally have like the cutoff around March. I don't know if any other product after March is going to have live Kobe autos.
That'd be so awesome and, if they were to get one more logo, man.
Well, yeah, exactly. Definitely. Well, maybe it'll at least be one that's without an auto, right? So, but you know what is interesting while you guys were talking about that, I thought about contenders, right? So they had a completely different subset for Kobe. So maybe that's what they did because they can't plan 8 months in advance what their designs are going to be for contenders. But if they had a design already set for him to sign, and that's probably what they did. They probably put those out there, had them sign those, I don't know if they're gonna. They were only in contenders.
Because what I've talked about, people who've sat down with Kobe in the past to have signings, very similar to Curry, where Curry he'll do it one day. He's like, I'll give you like 8 hours of signing. I'll do one day, but that's all he's gonna do. And I think Kobe was kind of like that too. 1 or 2 days out of the year, I'll do all your signing. I'll work straight 8 hours and do all of it, but that's all you're going to get. Like, I'm not going to do it 1 hour here, or you're not going to catch me after a game here and be able to get me to sign. Like, it was very specific. I think he was just like a couple days.
Yeah. Well, another thing to also keep in mind, not to jump way, way too far ahead, because this is obviously way jumping ahead. But so with the licensing, Panini's allowed to use any player that's active their likeness regardless. That's why you see LeBron James cards. So LeBron James, if he had it his way, wouldn't have a card with Panini. He'd have it only with Upper Deck. So, but he's active. So that's part of the Players Association license that Panini has. So the interesting thing with Kobe is we don't know what his estate is going to do. So obviously Panini gave the rights to Panini and Panini pays X amount of dollars for his likeness. So any of the older players too, all have to sign contracts to be with Panini, like Magic Johnson, stuff like that. So who knows? Who knows what his foundation or his wife will do in terms of his cards going forward? You know, obviously it's going to take years before that's decided, and I'm sure there's a contract that was signed. But when that contract's up, you don't know. You don't know what she's going to do with his likeness, with his memorabilia that maybe she has. Obviously, that's the least of her worries right now. But yeah, just going, you know, going forward to think about that this is something that, you know, may change too. Because you look at the Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle was Mr. Topps. I mean, one of the most famous cards was Mickey Mantle, 1952 Mickey Mantle. His sons sold his likeness to Panini. So, you know, which I think Mickey Mantle would prefer to keep with his original Topps thing, you know, to give to somebody that doesn't have a New York Yankees license. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see going forward what will happen with that once they're – and I don't know how long his contract was signed for with Panini, so something to keep in mind. But back to the redemptions, just be mindful that you're probably not going to get the card and, you know, don't blame Panini, obviously. You know, there's nothing Panini could have done here. So, but
– and also know that you're not going to get the current perceived value of it.
Yeah.
I think – and I don't work for Panini. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to be like, we're going to give you the current value of the Kobe Bryant autos.
Mm-hmm.
That it just doesn't make sense for them to do that.
Right. Exactly. So I wanted to bring up, you know, once again, rest in peace to the legend. Sad day. So I just wanted to move on to the next topic. And, you know, we're actually running a Kobe Bryant fund right now. So for every number to 8 left side serial number card we pull and whatever number to 24 left side serial number we pull, we're donating $5 to the KVBFF, which is the Kobe Vanessa Bryant Family Foundation, which helps underprivileged kids get into sports and stuff like that. So Monday alone, we actually got it up to $45. So that's how many left side serial numbers we hit on Monday. So we're going to be running it for a while. And, you know, we're not even asking anything from you guys on it. We're just, you know, donating by you guys getting into breaks is allowing us to pull these cards and keep remembering Kobe, right? So, but yeah, that would be the foundation that if you wanted to donate for, you know, the years that Kobe entertained us it's the KVBFF is his foundation, which used to be Vivo, but it changed to the KVBFF Foundation. So, but I want to talk about a crazy trade. You know, we're in a trading card game. But there was a crazy trade that I read about courtesy of Sports Collectors Daily website, which is an awesome news site. So a Tom Brady rookie card was traded for a Nintendo game. All right. 2000 Tom Brady PSA 10 was traded for the Nintendo World Championship 1990 Gray Edition 8. So the Tom Brady valued $160,000. So now this Nintendo cartridge is now valued at $160,000. Crazy that these worlds collide. And yes, they do grade games. This game is graded an 8. Apparently, there was only 10 of these cartridges made for Nintendo's promotion, and they toured with it, I guess. And most of them, I guess, are wrecked. So 8 is probably the pinnacle of this cartridge. But this was traded in a New York-based vintage comic dealer, just brokered the mother of sports card trades, and the deal was a little less conventional than a typical auction of the trade. So Vincent Zerzillo, the co-owner of COO and New York's Metropolitan Collectibles, he brokered this deal. So it's crazy. So I didn't even realize. I mean, I knew people graded video games, and I knew video games sold for a decent amount, but some other video games that sold for a lot of money was a original cartridge Super Mario Brothers sold for $100,000. And a Mega Man Dr. Wright first release sold for $75,000. I did some eBaying real quick, and I found a few. So there's another version of that game. I guess it's the holy grail of the game. Somebody's asking $150,000 for it, and that's graded a 7. So the one that was traded for the Brady was graded an 8. And then I think there was a Mario Brothers I found on the next slide that sold for $35,000. Crazy. But the games have to be, most of them have to be still in their original wrapping, which I don't know any of you guys, but when I got my games as a kid, I didn't keep it in a wrapping. So,
like the only way that you would actually not open it up is say if you got it as a gift and you didn't have Nintendo, so you had like Sega.
Right. Yeah. Now, how are you not going to open
like,
it up?
Like that would be the only way. Like then you'd be like, oh, cool.
Or if you got two of them and you didn't take it back. But if I got two of one game, I'd take it back to another game.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hold on to one, but the only thing I can think of is that if you didn't have the system, and you're just
but
like,
you still would probably take it back to
you'd
get a
probably
Sega
still,
game.
Yeah, yeah, you would have to basically be a one of those kids who I don't know any of them that would be like, I'm just gonna go ahead and put this away, just hold on to it, collect it,
yeah,
because I mean, dude, video games, you play them. I don't even like, I look at that 110 $1,000 world championship game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got a Nintendo. I want to see what that game's about.
No, you can't, man.
But I want to play it. I want to see what it's about. I can't, though.
Can't.
Like, that, what's the point?
And actually, I mean, from an eye appeal, obviously it's a Nintendo game, but it's not even in a box because they didn't release it. They didn't sell this game.
They should allow you to, like, crack it open or slide it open, take the game out, play it a little bit, put it back in there. Well, I know it may damage the grading on it.
To be fair, I'm sure there's a version of this that you can play that somebody created.
No. I want the OG original controllers. I mean, legit.
Some people probably bought two and kept one in original packing, just like they did Star Wars and Barbies.
It must have been like older, like a little bit. You had to be a little bit older to have that foresight.
Yeah, I mean, I would have never thought in my wildest dreams that I could keep my.
Ain't no young buck, like, you know, under 10, being like, you know what? This Mario might be worth $100,000 one day.
I could buy a house or put a down payment on a house.
Imagine having that, and just going to like a Toys R Us and just being like, yeah, I saved up on my allowance. I'm going to buy 5 Super Mario games. And I'm going to play one, and I'm just going to keep 4.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
just sealed.
You'd have to have a crystal ball.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any kid that's going to do that. That has to be an adult for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like, this is the same thing that happened in the 80s and 90s with cards, right? It's like people were like, okay, this is a future investment. You know, I'm going to hoard all these 90s boxes and one day they're going to be worth.
But I mean, even like when newer systems came out, like Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis or Dreamcast or PlayStation.
You got rid of your games.
Like that, you were just like, that's when you would find like Nintendo games at like the flea market for $1.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember, you know, not growing up with a lot of money, I would, you know, you would take 3 games into GameStop to get, you know,
one game,
$30 maybe. You still have to throw in 20.
Not Nintendo games.
Yeah.
If it was like mid 90s and you walked into a GameStop and you're like, I got like 25 Nintendo games, they'd be like, I'll give you $12.
I forget. It wasn't GameStop back then, but
EB Games.
Valco Mall. What was the game store in there? Was it not Suncoast? That was more records and stuff. There was a, what was it? I can't remember the name, but they were definitely buying games and cartridges and stuff like that. Obviously, 10 years later when the new systems came out, they weren't buying them anymore. But
you
would go in there and trade. And then you had to kind of play it right, because if you had like Madden 2, you couldn't sell it right before Madden 3 came out because they wouldn't give you that much money, right? So you had to kind of like plan it out right. But yeah, they would basically look at your cartridge. All right, $10 cash, $15 credit, mm-hmm. whatever. So you just, you know, I'm done playing these games, so I'll just, you know, trade them in. So yeah, I mean,
once upon a time in another life, I was a video game reseller too. But it's a pretty interesting market.
I know Funko Land is one of them, but I don't think it was that. I can't remember. And I don't think it was GameStop. It was
Electronic Boutique.
Electronic Boutique. That's what it was. That's absolutely what
it was.
I
said that 3 times already.
Did you? I tuned you out until I had an aha moment. Yeah, EB Games. EB Games. I think it was Electronic Boutique, and then as it before they went out of business or sold. I don't know what happened to them.
They shortened their name.
It's EB Games. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was on the bottom floor of Valco. It was right by the... Mm-hmm. I talk like Valco, like you guys know what Valco is, but
yeah, I preferred that store.
Oh, Valco!
When I was young,
you what?
I preferred that store to GameStop when I was young.
Hang out at Tilt, dude.
Well, KB Toys too, but
KB Toys sold games too.
Yeah, yeah.
And Toys R Us was if you got the game, you'd have to get the orange slip, take it to the register. They'd check you out, and then they'd send you to some Bob guy who was in like a little house that has all the games.
Yeah,
you
know I remember that.
Yeah, you're like, oh, he's like, that must be pretty cool to be back there.
That was actually like one of the worst like transactions ever. Like, you'd go and you'd get the little like the slip and you'd bring it up and you're like, I want to buy this, and like the instant gratification wasn't there. You'd have to basically be like, oh cool, like go ahead and go over here now and talk to this guy, and then it'd be a guy in like a little cubby hole. He'd like pop his head out and he's like, let me see your receipt. And he'd go back there and get your game.
Yep.
I didn't like that, dude. Were people jacking so many games?
Well,
like,
it was $50, small. So inventory, so shortage was happening. I mean, even Target now, you have them in the big old boxes that they have to open up. I mean, the game's in there physically, but it's in a
security
box.
Yeah, but at least you have a tangible item you're going up to the register with.
Right, right. So, you know, I was going to talk about Transcendent, but we're running out of time here in about 2 minutes before we got to get into the break. But and it looks like I didn't upload the slide anyway.
Hey,
so,
people in the chat know Valco.
I know there's two people. It's unbelievable that two people, and I know you guys are locals. Unbelievable you guys know Valco. I actually, TJ over here, I didn't know Dan at the time, but we used to ride bikes up that hill. So you have to go up that hill. And that was original Apple right there. It was just like run down little buildings back then because Apple was just getting killed by Microsoft in those days, right? So now you go in that area. Actually, there's no area there anymore. It's like Apple land for you folks that are not in the Bay Area. Apple built like a spaceship and they took over that entire land right there. So it's crazy. But there's a hill that used to go over, right? And rollerblades is a little risky going down. You know, we're going down that hill and then, you know, lock up your biker, hold your rollerblades, and then walk around the mall with, you know, $10 to your name and try to find stuff or bring games in your backpack, try to trade. So,
they had the mall, and then across the street, they had. I want to say there was movie theaters there at one point. I think so. I know there was Tilt. Mm-hmm. Tilt was there, and the ice skating rink,
which I think is still there.
Was there a? There wasn't a bowling alley.
There was now, and then I think that's gone now.
Dude, I swear there was a theater.
The bowling alley was where Tilt is.
Oh,
so but I don't think that's there anymore either. So
yeah, Tilt had. It was an arcade. It was basically like Dave and Buster's before Dave and Buster's, but it had a, and well, I'll say this, and then we can basically sign off. It had a bumper car area, and it was like the smallest, tiniest, like lamest bumper car ride you could have. Yeah. Like, dude, it was like as big as our shop. Like, you couldn't even like turn around in it without like. I remember like looking at it and being like 10 years old, and I'm all. I don't want to ride the bumper car. This is stupid.
It's stupid. Actually, you know, you just spurred a memory. You know, the guy who owned Tilt was an opportunist from the day one because you'd be sitting there playing like, you know, Street Fighter and you look up and it'd be like $6,000. He had a price tag on every single game that was in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And before they even went out of business. So, I mean, he was an opportunist. He's like, you're putting in quarters. Maybe you love this game. You give me $6,000. And then he'll go back to Capcom and buy another one for $3,000 or whatever. So he was not.
Dude, I actually have never seen an arcade do that. And I never noticed that.
Yeah, every single machine had a price on it to buy it, the machine.
So a 12-year-old kid can be like, I want Tekken.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to ask for? Christmas, Billy.
Yeah, Tekken.
I want $6,000 Tekken machine.
I mean, I'm almost positive, unless I only remember it when they were closing and they were trying to sell the games.
It had to be when they were, because I remember going there as a kid and I would have noticed that. But I remember that arcade being huge.
It was huge.
Like, it was a big arcade.
It seemed like it, at least when we were kids. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We just totally went into what's now a show on the San Jose Bay Area arcades.
We got Long Arms in there. He knows about Tilt.
Yeah, we got four people that know about Tilt in the chat.
Wasn't there another? It wasn't Tilt, but
Keystone.
It was Keystone.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a nickel arcade at one point.
I think so.
No, I know. So I lived right there.
I think I only went like once or twice.
It was also right next to Brian's Books, which was a comic book store that had
a little bit of cards. Yeah, yeah. All right, guys, we are out for the show. Once again, always remember Kobe, you know.
Rest in paradise, Kobe.
Rest in peace, rest in paradise, yeah.
And everybody that lost their lives.
Yeah, crazy. But so this show is dedicated to him. And once again, you know, do what you can. Donate to that KVBFF Foundation if you can, spare a few. And we'll see you guys next week. Next week's going to be a little weird, so we'll see how the show goes because we're actually going to be in Dallas for the Million Card Rip Party on Tuesday. We're flying back Wednesday. We land around 1:30. So I don't know. We're going to try to have a show. If it's not on Wednesday, it'll be Thursday for sure. But we may have enough time to just pop in here and talk about the Million Card Rip Party and all that fun stuff. So, all right, guys. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.